Hello, everyone. I hope you had a great weekend. I am Steve Baker, and it's time for another 5 in 10. Before I get started, as always, please don't forget to like this video and follow my Rumble channel. Those likes, follows, and reviews, they really do help. All right, let's go. Number one, when I launched my Facebook page some 12 or 13 years ago, I adopted the brand of the pragmatic libertarian. That always raised the legitimate question, what in the heck is that? My primary axiom has always been, there's the world that we want versus the world in which we actually live. Meaning, there is no libertarian savior who's going to ride in on a white horse with a magic libertarian wand to make the country safe for an instant laissez-faire society. In other words, my pragmatism was usually stated in the form of advocating for a kind of reverse progressivism, taking the long-term approach of turning the agenda back in the same manner in which the progressives have brought us to where we are today, progressively, and have done so over the last 100+ years. To be honest, though, that was a tiring explanation to have to tell over and over and over again. And in the lead up to the 2020 election, the constant association that was made about me being somehow part of the Libertarian Party, when in fact I was just a small L libertarian, I'm not much of a party guy, as I've stated previously. And then, of course, in 2020, there was the current Libertarian Party's coddling of so many leftist positions. In fact, even Reason Magazine, the de facto libertarian publication of record, they published their usual election time list of whom their writers and their editors were going to be voting for president. And actually, more of their number were supporting Biden in that election than were supporting even the Libertarian Party candidate. So that was a problem for me. So I finally just changed the brand to the Pragmatic Constitutionalist. Well, times they are changing again. And nothing in my core values have changed since I made that brand switch in 2020. But this country is changing now at a breakneck, almost violent pace. You know, just in quick review, we've got climate change is the new COVID. Devastating government actions are coming relating to that. The Russia-Ukrainian war expansion seems inevitable, and as well as our own participation therein. Obviously, the Great Reset agenda is in full swing. Central bank digital currency is coming. ESG scores will begin affecting our daily lives even more than they are today. AI is about to change everything. And now we're hearing the elites openly discuss food supply and travel restrictions. The concerted effort to eliminate fossil fuels before we're ready to do so is well underway. We have a literal mass formation psyop of gender confusion being forced on society today, as well as the weaponization of our three-letter agencies against the average American rather than their stated purpose of service and security. Well, that's just in full blossom now. And of course, this unrelenting border invasion that we have and the reasons behind that, whatever they are. I've always stated that the libertarian philosophy that the government's only moral function is to protect us from force and fraud, but government, unfortunately, our government has become force and fraud openly and with their outside voices. I still believe in pragmatic libertarianism, the world we want versus the world in which we actually live, but a more aggressive stand must now be taken. So in short, I'm going to slowly be dropping all of my branding and just be me, Steve Baker, as I take a much more hardline approach toward drawing a line in the sand against this globalist agenda to take us into what seems like a coming Orwellian dystopia. You'll see these changes on my socials in the coming weeks. All right, number two, speaking of coming travel restrictions, well, say goodbye to permissionless travel. And this comes from the aforementioned Reason Magazine. Sometime in 2024, Americans will then need a travel visa to visit most of Europe. Americans and residents of 62 other countries that currently enjoy visa-free visitation to the European Union will need to pay a fee and submit an online application, which it will include biometric information, work experience, medical conditions, and your initial itinerary. Then also pass a criminal security background check before being allowed to make that journey. Even here, America is expanding travel restrictions to those wishing to visit our own country, though apparently not those that cross at our southern border. Niall Gardner, a former aide to British Prime Minister Margaret Thatcher, called the new EU program Orwellian. He added, "This is the most important aspect here. I fear that the EU officials will be using this to keep some individuals out of Europe from the United States whose political views they don't like." So there's always potential for this kind of misuse of this kind of system. All right, number three. And what looks like some good news, recent research shows that high school American boys are trending more conservative in their political views. I mean, that seems highly unlikely in review of their social media platforms, you know, those used by teenagers. But the numbers say this, that 12th grade boys are nearly twice as likely to identify as conservative versus liberal. In annual surveys over the last 3 years, roughly one quarter of high school seniors self-identified as conservative or very conservative on the Monitoring the Future survey, a scholarly endeavor that dates back to the 1970s. Only 13% of boys identified as liberal or very liberal in those years. By contrast, it's actually the girls who are drifting to the left. The share of 12th grade girls who identified as liberal rose from 19% in 2012 to 30% in 2022. Only 12% of girls identified as conservative in last year's survey, and this was the one administered by the University of Michigan. We do have a few things, I think, working in our favor. For one, just the natural process of teen rebellion against parental beliefs. We may be seeing this in some of the numbers as so many young parents have trended left in recent years, and boys will be boys. Then we have the continuing rise in homeschooling and private schooling as more parents are recognizing the dangers of the educational communist indoctrination complex. And then, of course, we see those parents who can't otherwise homeschool or afford private education becoming more involved in their local school boards. Look, I'll take any glimmer of hope we can get at this point. And number four, the Biden administration is blocking funding from school rifle and archery programs. Now, amazingly, I'm surprised to learn that those programs still exist at all. According to Not the Bee, that's the real news version of the Babylon Bee, the Biden administration is purposefully blocking funding for schools to have their own archery, rifle, and hunting programs because of a new school safety bill. The Department of Education has determined that under the Bipartisan Safer Communities Act passed last year, that school hunting and archery lessons are precluded from receiving federal funding. The interpretation then could impact millions of American children enrolled in such programs. In other words, the Biden administration deems such programs that teach kids responsibility and firearm safety, along with the discipline and decision-making necessary, are dangerous. At the risk of giving away my own age, this was a common part of our physical education curriculum back in the 1970s, in junior high school, as we called it then. You know, back then, we still valued the lessons given to us by our founding fathers. For instance, George Washington said, "A free people ought not only to be armed, but disciplined, to which end a uniform and well-digested plan is requisite, and their safety and interest requires that they should promote such manufactories." From Thomas Jefferson, "A strong body makes the mind strong. As to the species of exercises, I advise the gun. While this gives moderate exercise to the body, it gives boldness, enterprise, and independence to the mind. Games played with the ball and others of that nature are too violent for the body and stamp no character on the mind. Let your gun, therefore, be your constant companion on your walks." And finally, from Richard Henry Lee, he said, "To preserve liberty, it is essential that the whole body of the people always possess arms and be taught alike, especially when young, how to use them." There, that covers it better than anyone else in the modern political scene could state it. All right, number five. I took the opportunity this weekend to see Oppenheimer. Here are just a few thoughts, not really a full review. I had deliberately avoided reading any reviews before seeing the film. I didn't want to be influenced by anyone else's opinion. But I have, in fact, been looking forward to this for, well, more than a year, I think, with Christopher Nolan as the writer, director, and producer, and the all-star cast, especially the lead role played by Cillian Murphy, one of my current favorites. This was a film I was excited to see. And frankly, I was not disappointed. It's really a breathtaking romp through more than 30 years of the life of Robert Oppenheimer, the man generally viewed as the father of the atomic bomb and the director of our nation's Manhattan Project in World War II. In short, this film made me want to learn more about Robert Oppenheimer, and particularly the personal politics that he had to navigate during his career, his appointment to the head of such an important position during World War II, and that which ultimately led to him losing his security clearances some years after successfully creating the bombs that were dropped on Hiroshima and Nagasaki, namely his left-leaning personal politics and his numerous associations with members of the Communist Party USA, which included not only his wife, but also his brother. Ultimately, as the plot of the movie was drafted, these and his opposition to the development of the hydrogen bomb led to his problems with the U.S. government and then the loss of his clearances and his career as a nuclear physicist. Despite those political associations, he did express some rather timely and pertinent quotes about today's controversies around science and speech. Rather than a review, as I said, just let me give you a few of those important quotes from Oppenheimer. This first one was taken from the sacred Hindu text called the Bhagavad Gita. He famously uttered these words after the first test detonation of the atomic bomb. He said, "Now I have become death, the destroyer of worlds." Obviously, his internal conflicts were on display with that. But these are the more interesting Oppenheimer quotes to which I referred. He said, "We do not believe any group of men adequate enough or wise enough to operate without scrutiny or without criticism. We know that the only way to avoid error is to detect it, that the only way to detect it is to be free to inquire. We know that the wages of secrecy are corruption. We know that in secrecy, error, undetected, will flourish and subvert." And despite being a morally flawed man himself, he once said, "Knowledge cannot be pursued without morality." And then finally, this is really apropos to today's debates about the sciences of COVID, climate change, and gender dysphoria that we're going through. And this is a great quote. "There must be no barriers to freedom of inquiry. There is no place for dogma in science. The scientist is free and must be free to ask any question, to doubt any assertion, to seek for any evidence, to correct any errors. Our political life is also predicated on openness, and we know that as long as men are free to ask what they must, free to say what they think, free to think what they will, freedom can never be lost, and science can never regress." Oppenheimer, the movie, left me personally with a desire to know more. And that's a rare feat for any film today. You should check it out. Okay, that's it for today. Please consider joining my Locals community where I share content I don't put out anywhere else. It's free to subscribe. But for as little as $5 per month, you can help me with my continued investigations into, well, everything that I'm working on. Simply go to TPC4USA. That's TPC, the number 4USA.com. Or from your app store, download the Locals app and then search for @TPC4USA. You can also find me on Twitter, Facebook, and Truth Social with the exact same handle, @TPC4USA. Thanks so much, and I look forward to bringing you another 5 and 10 very soon.